Blog Talk Radio.
I feel just like a kite, but one without a string, one that is floating around. I don't know what tomorrow will bring. I feel just like a bird, but one without a home, one that is floating over endless oceans, empty horizons, no rest in sight. What does it mean when you say you want to be free? Free to sing, free to dance, free to let someone take a glance in a world that's free of me. Then you say you're moving on. Then you say I've got other plans. Oh, 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 girl, oh, you're moving in the wrong direction. Moving in the wrong direction, yeah. You're moving in the wrong direction, so far away from me. You're moving in the wrong direction, moving in the wrong direction, yeah. You're moving in the wrong direction, so far away from me.
Talk for Real People show is all about. It is curriculum designed to give a study of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you a bird's eye view of critical analysis and assessment, to leave no stone or leaf unturned, leaving no T uncrossed and no dot, period on the I, and so on and so forth. Now, why do we feel that it's imperative for you to get these studies right? Everything in life is codified. Your human body structure is codified. Animals are codified. Trees are codified. Mountains are codified. Wouldn't you want to get the most important relationship in your life, or should be, follows the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, correct, right? I certainly want to. I don't want to be an heir about anything, especially when it comes to my soul, anybody else's soul for that matter. And certainly you should feel the very same way. Praise the Most High and bless His holy name. Let's get this codification right, okay? Let's get it right. Because as we can see, the goings on among our humans, as in the case of Ukraine, Russia, and so on and so forth. Uncodified behavior equals uncodified results. And certainly in this case. And you may be asking, who is the we that is doing these studies? Well, you have Cartier from New York City. He's one of the lead investigative detectives. Sister Yehudi from Detroit, Michigan. She's one of the lead investigative detectives. Sister Akira from Hawaii is one of the lead investigative detectives. Brother Ezekiel from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, he's one of the lead investigative detectives. And yours truly, Yamsuf Arif, and certainly you are too. Don't leave nothing to chance, and nothing should rest upon us to do due diligence in your studies. You should do your own due diligence in your own studies. And you're only to come to one conclusion if you're doing the correct studies. So praise the Most High and bless His holy name, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But before we get started, you know, I want to make a comment about a contemporary subject matter. As I just mentioned, the Ukraine and Russian fiasco. But I've come to find out, and I know perhaps you have too, universal white race supremacy never takes a day off, even during an invasion. And certainly, neither should I. I don't. I don't take a day off even during an invasion against universal white race supremacy, anything else that stands up against the Most High. And certainly, you should neither. Stop taking things by chance or a happenstance and just forget it. Oh, that's just the way it is. No, that's the way you let it be because you don't have anything to say about it. Open your mouths up sometimes. When you see something wrong, speak about it. It's just that simple. So let me introduce Cartrell from New York City. Cartrell, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom. No. Okay, hold on. That's Ezekiel. Hold on, Ezekiel. Where are you on, Ezekiel? May the Most High bless you. I need Cartrell next. May the Most High bless you, Ezekiel. You on.
Shalom, everybody in Israel. Glad to be back on. All praise and blessing and glory to the Most High, Yah, for another day to be on here and to deal with everybody and, you know, sharpen each other's iron and stuff and, you know, get it right. Continue to keep trying to get it right. So.
Praise the Most High, Ezekiel. All right. Okay. Thank you, Ezekiel. Okay, so Yehudi from Detroit, Michigan. May the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Shalom, shalom. Peace be with you and your family. And good evening, Ezekiel. Nice to hear from you again. Yes,
hey,
indeed. I have Yamsu. I've adopted. I got me another son. So, and Hador is the grandmother.
That's a good deal. That's a good deal, Judy.
So we got to look out for one another, right?
You better believe it.
Right. I have a, I have a question you probably thought of. It's just asking, even though I meant to tell you that a synopsis on what you read. I made some notes from all the way to, because we're on 40, right, in Isaiah?
Yes. Let me look at my computer, because I'm reading from the Blue Book version tonight, letter Bible tonight. Yes, it's the Most High encouraging us, and certainly we need encouragement by the looks of it. All right. Thank you, Sister Yodi. Now, Cartrell. Okay. Now, Cartrell from New York City. Cartrell, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Shalom. Bless y'all, my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. All praise, honor, and glory to the Holy One in Yisrael, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. How y'all doing?
Doing okay, brother. May the Most High bless you and your family.
Can't miss y'all yesterday. I forgot. You know, we're supposed to be off the air, but I called in anyway.
Yeah, you gave me a call. I said, no, bro.
I'm a creature of habit.
Yeah. I said, yeah, I told everybody take a day off Monday because I had to take care of some business. And
yeah,
so,
you did.
Yeah.
And I still forgot, too.
Yeah. I think Ezekiel texts me, are we going on? I think he had forgotten.
Yeah, speaking of taking days off, universal white racial supremacy doesn't take a day off. And I thought you were going to mention the fact that...
I did say it. I said it never takes a day off.
Let me finish.
Okay.
I thought you were going to mention the fact that the Polish government is not allowing the African immigrants, African students, to cross into their border from Ukraine.
Pitiful.
Yeah. Snatching them off the bus, they're snatching women off the train and putting the white people first.
Pitiful.
It is pitiful. They know they're not Ukrainian, that's for sure.
Well, Michael Jackson said, what did Michael Jackson say? They don't really care about us.
Oh, no. It's evident. It never takes a day off. Universal white racist supremacy, even in Poland, in a crisis right now. And you should see how they treat them refugees. It's like, wow, that's how you treat refugees when they white?
Right.
They shouldn't treat the Americans like that when they came here.
they picking them up, bringing them pamphlets, money. Come on home with me, George. Come on, Sally Ann. Yeah. But us? Tacky, trashy, and a terroristic, and sometimes all three together given the circumstance. They have a code on a universal white race supremacy in our regard, and it's on full display as we speak in Ukraine and by Poland and so on and so forth. It never takes a day off.
And they're always talking about our neighborhoods and black-on-black crime, but white-on-white crime, that shakes up the whole planet, don't it?
Exactly.
They invade country.
Exactly.
That's what they do, invade country.
The Russians is talking about, we can't shoot them because they look just like us.
That's about the gist of it, but they're still shooting them, though.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, it's different when you're in a tank or whatever, through technology, you don't see the carnage, you know? You don't see it, so.
You don't want to see it. Trust me. You talk about war zones, you don't want to see the carnage.
No.
But Vladimir Putin, he reminds me of Rob Shaken.
Really?
Yeah, the Assyrian captain that came out and was blasting Israel.
Oh.
I remember Rob Shaken. For King Sennacherib of Assyria. And King Hezekiah told his men, don't say a word to him. Don't say nothing. They came back and tore their clothes. The king tore his clothes. They went straight to Yah. Who are we going to do, Yah? Rob Shaggy was talking about this.
Yeah, got you. Like Vladimir Putin lost his mind.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. And he's really hurting his country inadvertently financially, because he has no assets and means to monetary capital. That $630 billion he thought he put his hand on, oh, that's on lockdown.
Did y'all hear about the sister that went on a date with this white boy, and she wound up dead in his apartment, and they say that she died of natural causes? And she was like 20.
A sister?
Yeah, a sister went on a date with a white boy. She wound up dead in his apartment, and they said that she died of natural causes.
Yeah, naturally by his hand, it didn't come as a shock to me. So these young sisters need to know what they're getting into, okay?
29 years old.
Right.
In the prime of her life.
Right.
She dies of natural causes. What natural causes can a person at 29 years old die of?
Well, what about the elderly woman? I think she was in her late 30s, and she went to this pajama party, this sister, and she ended up jumping off the balcony, killing herself. It's very odd, man, Cartrell and fellow students. Every time we get around there, we die naturally or we kill ourselves. Very strange behavior, okay?
He's talking about the model in New York City that they said jumped off the 30th floor.
Oh, that one too, but this was another one, Katria. This was another one? Yeah, it was another one. I mean, every time we get around them, just things just seem to happen and we end up dead one way or the other. Tacky, trashing, and terroristic. Sometime all three together under their codification. Kill them any kind of way you can. All right, Katria. So, Shahudi, Ezekiel, fellow investigator. Let's get started. May the Most High bless us. Continue to let his footsteps be our path for you. So let's, I'm reading out the Blue Letter Bible. And Isaiah 41, it's 41.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Right. And he's encouraging us because, truth be told, we need it then and we need it now.
So, yeah, so.
Yes.
Sister Yehudi was talking to me earlier and she was asking for a synopsis of the book of Isaiah from chapter 1 till now.
Right. She was asking for a what, country?
A synopsis. An overview of what we've covered.
Oh, okay.
In the book of Isaiah.
Well, look here. We're going to get this chapter over. And if you're inclined to give an overview, that'd be fine by me. But we're going to do this chapter. Yeah.
Right.
Thank you, country.
No problem.
And so Isaiah 41, verse 1, encouraging to us, keep silence before me, O Alves, and let the people renew their strength. Let them come near. Then let them speak. Let us come near together to judgment. Who raised up the righteous man from the east, called him to his foot, gave the nations before him, and made him rule over kings. He made them as the dust to his sword and as driven stubble to his bow. He pursued them and passed safely, even by the way, that he had not gone with his feet. Who had wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Elohim, the first, and with the last, I am he. There ain't nobody else. The owl saw it. And fear. The ends of the earth were afraid and drew near and came. They helped everyone his neighbor. And everyone said to his brother, be of good courage. That's what we should be doing, motivating each other, even during that time and even during this time, to be of good courage. So the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith. And he that smoothed with the hammer, him that smote the anvil, saying, it is ready for the soldering. And he fastened it with nails that it should not be moved. But thou, Israel, are my servant. Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth. And this is in futuristic time also to come. And called thee from the chief men thereof. And said unto thee, thou art my servant. have chosen thee, and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, even though they teach you tacky, trashy, and a terroristic, sometimes all three together. Sometimes they kill you. Sometimes they even won't. They may be some Hamites over there, but there may be some Hebrew Israelites over there. Even they won't let you on the train, and they throwing you off the train, throw the little mothers off the train, and so on and so forth. Be not dismayed. For I am thou, Elohim. They ain't going to help you. But I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness, not theirs, because they ain't got any. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded, just like they are now. They seem to be going into a total mind of confusion. They shall be as nothing. And they that strive with thee shall perish, bottom line. Thou shalt seek them and shall not find them. Even them that contended with you, they that war against thee shall be as nothing. As a thing of naught, I'm a deal with. For I, Yah, thy Elohim, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not. I will help you. The Most High will comfort us. Fear not, thou worm Yaqub. You ain't nothing but a worm, you men of Israel. I will help thee, said the Elohim, thy Redeemer. I will redeem you, and I will help you, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument, having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains and beat them small, and shall make the hills as chaff. Thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them, and thou shalt rejoice in the Elohim. And thou shalt glory in the Holy One of Israel. It's what we should be doing. Therein is our antidote and salvation. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue felleth for thirst, I, the Elohim, will hear them. I, the Elohim of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness, the cedar, and the shittah tree, and the myrtle, and the oil tree. I will set in the desert the fir tree and the pine, and the box tree together, that they may see, and know, and consider, and understand together that the hand of the Elohim had done this, and the Holy One of Israel had created. I want everybody to have all eyes on me. And know for certainty, I'm the one that brought this about. Produce your cause, said the Elohim. Bring forth your strong reasons, said the king of Jacob. Let them bring them forth and show us what shall happen. Let them show the former things, what they be, that we may consider them and know the latter end of them, or declare to us things to come. Show the things that are to come hereafter, that we may know that we are gods. Yea, do good or do evil, that we may be dismayed and behold it together. Behold, you are of nothing, and your works are of naught. An abomination is he that chooseth you. I raised up from the north, one from the north. He shall come. Is that Vladimir Putin? Is that the rising sun of China? From the rising of the sun shall he call upon my name. And he shall come upon princesses as upon mortar, and as the potter treaded the clay. Who had declared from the beginning that we may know, and before time, that we may say, he is righteous. Yeah, there is none that showeth. Yea, there is none that declare. Yea, There's none that heareth your words. The first shall say to Zion, behold, behold them. And I will give to Jerusalem one that bringeth good tidings. For I beheld, and there was no man even among them. And there was no counselor that when I asked of them could answer a word. Behold, they are all vanity. Their works are nothing. Their molded images, idols, and so on and so forth are wind and confusion. Most High said, I'm going to do what I want to do, when I want to do it, and how I want to do it, and ain't nobody can do anything about it. And ain't no sense you put no trust in human beings and these idols. I'm going to call somebody from the north to handle some things for me too. But he still has love for Yaqub and Israel. And even though he said you weren't, he still has love for us. He called it like he said. And some of us start putting on a big head like we eat something special. The Most High said we're worms. Accept the designation. Although he loves us, don't get it twisted. Accept your designation. And stop walking around all haughty and high-minded as if you're something special unto yourself. The fact of the matter, the Most High Redeemer, by your association, your key word I'm looking for, your association or your understanding and your codification under his concepts, it's the only thing that makes you something special. Yet he still loves us and encourages. Praise the Most High and bless his holy name. Gotrell, if you want to give her that rendition, the synopsis from 1 to 41, by all means, and y'all got the mics on 41.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody could jump in there, y'all students.
Okay. But, all right.
I'll hear the first part. Okay, my note. Isaiah, which means Yah is salvation. Yah, Isaiah is one of the major prophets in the scripture. Isaiah was the son of Amos and had a wife that was a prophetess. He had two sons. And one of the sons' name was Shur Yahib, which means a remnant shall return. And his other son, correct me because my Hebrew is woof, Ma'er Shalah Hasba, which means the spoil feed, the prey hasten. And it could be referred to the fact that Syria and Ethereum by the Assyrians were being in squabbles. As it happened. The historical period of Isaiah prophecy spans 735 BC with the campaign against Assyria. Isaiah prophesied and revealing you should not have foreign alliances, but depend on the Most High. That was in chapter 7. But Aram and Ephraim failed. And that's what happened. Isaiah again warned against assistance from Egypt and not trusting in the Most High. So we set up where Isaiah came to tell Yehuda not to align himself with these other nations, what was false in them. Of course, Isaiah condemned the actions of the people, calling them to repent and mend their ways. That's in chapter 1. Verse 18 to 20. But it seemed like his pleas went on deaf ears. Yet, He did not relent and uphold what the Most High had told him. And you will not go unpunished, he said. But the Most High was using Assyria as his rod of anger. To demonstrate, because Assyria was very arrogant, thinking that they didn't need, they were the idol. That his kingdom can overpower them. And then with the betrayal of Ephraim, which is part of Israel, will also be punished. You can jump in. I got more, but you can jump in with two chapters I missed.
Well, you don't necessarily have to go chapter by chapter. A synopsis of the books of Isaiah lets us know who the creator of heaven and earth is, because it's basically his resume. The Holy One of Israel, the King of Jacob, is the first and the last, and besides him, there is no other. He lets us know that Israel is his servant. The theme of the book is Yah, the Creator, the Holy One of Israel. Israel, his servant, being out of line, trying to align themselves with other nations. It's a historic account of the history of the nation of Israel, alongside of the Babylonians and the Assyrians and the Egyptians and any other nation that is mentioned in the book. These nations we don't really learn about in Western institutions with thorough history. So we get a historical account from the book of Isaiah. We also get Yah's plans for back then and for the future. We see miraculous things happening to our kings when they were able to discipline themselves to listen to Yah. As in the case of King Hezekiah, the Most High extended his life 15 years. But with that, he messed up. He's showing the enemy everything in his house. And he doesn't really care because he knows that he's not going to have any trouble for the 15 years of his life that the Most High extended it. And you also see that the Most High had angels in the midst. Isaiah, his first encounter with the Most High is with the angel. And he realizes his state of uncleanness and the state of his people's uncleanness before the presence of the Most High. And the Most High cleans him up so that he could go on this mission to get our people in line. And basically that's his mission, to straighten up Yah's servant, to get us on the right track, which he kind of failed to do because our people are hard-headed and stiff-necked. But Yah's breaking judgment down, and he's telling us we're going to be punished, but we do have a future to look forward to, as we read in this chapter 41. Mm-hmm. 41, again, is Yah's resume. He's telling you who he is and what he's done and what his plan is and who his servant is. He said he chose Abraham, the man from the east. And Abraham did great things. And he blessed them with having us as a nation. And Yah chose us as his people. And our future is great. So I don't know if that's the type of synopsis that you're looking for, but
that's it.
You got to go over the
bring
details.
Huh? Yeah, they summed it up. All the chapters have been read up to 41. 41 is interesting, too. Because I missed 40. That was my best chapter. But it goes on to say those other nations are not. And their molding images are wind and confusing. It's the truth. Because I find them to be confusing. Of people even today of worshiping the cross, a person, items. There's no life, but there's no life. And the rulers have influence.
And the Most High challenges them in his 41st chapter. He says, 21. Present your case, says Yah. Bring forward your evidence, the King of Jacob says. Let them bring forward and declare to us
what is going to take place. As for the former events, declare what they were. Tell us the past, what happened in the past, so that we may consider them and know their outcome. Announce to us what is coming. Declare the things that are going to come afterward, so that we may know that you are gods. If you're saying you gods, or you religions, Buddha's God, Allah's God, Jesus is God, Most High's challenging us. Tell me what happened in the past. Tell us what's going to happen in the future. Indeed, do good or evil. Do something to show me that you're God, that we may be afraid and fear together, as if Yah's don't have some kind of fear of the God you bring forth. Behold, you are less than nothing, and your work is less than nothing. All these religions, they're less than nothing, and they go to war over these things that are less than nothing. He who chooses you is an abomination. The gods that's choosing you to promote their religions, they're an abomination to me, the true creator. And I think this is Vladimir Putin and the Russian government. I have put one from the north into motion. Oh, yeah, they're in motion now. And he has come from the rising of the sun. He will call on my name. And he will come upon rulers as upon matter, as the potter treads the clay. And we know we're in that last kingdom, which Yah declares is iron and clay.
Right.
Who has declared this from the beginning, that we may know? Or from former times, that we may say he is right. There is no one at all who declares. There is no one at all who proclaims. There is no one at all who heard your words. Yah declared these things, and he's declaring them as we read it. Previously, I said, Zion, behold, here they are. And to Jerusalem, I will give a messenger of good news. But when I look, there is no one, and there is no counselor among them, who, if I ask, can give an answer. Behold, all of them are false. Their works are nothing. Their cast metal images are wind and emptiness. He's talking about our people. I gave y'all the message that y'all supposed to be claiming, but y'all are fooling around with idols, things that are wind and emptiness, when you should be carrying my word.
Because carrying the word brings action. In your character, in progress, the conduct.
Your voice sounds muffled, Sister Yudi.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're carrying the word, the law, within you, brings out your character. You are not arrogant, but humble. And not a desire to hurt one another. Why would I want to hurt my brother? Why would I want to hurt my sister? Can you hear me now?
We hear you. We got to know our heritage. That's why. If we understood our heritage, like Yah spelling out, he's saying, but you, Israel, in the 8th verse, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, descendant of Abraham, my friend, you, whom I've taken from the ends of the earth and called from the remotest part, and said to you, you are my servant. Again, now he's reiterating the fact that we, the descendants of Abraham, Israel, Jacob, whatever he wants to call us, we are his servants, and we take orders from our master. That's what we get twisted. We're going to try to get the master order. We're going to try to tell him how we want to live. No, you are servant. We are servants. The nation of Israel serves Yah. Like angels serve Yah in the heavens, that's our job on earth. I have chosen you and have not rejected you with all your wickedness and abomination, you not following my commands. I have not rejected you to this day. I still love you. Don't fear. Why? Because I'm with you. Even in captivity, Yah is with us. Didn't he save Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Daniel when he went in the lion's den? Oh, yes. Don't be afraid, for I am your God, your Elohim. I will strengthen you. I also will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Behold, all those who are angered with you shall be ashamed and dishonored. We got plenty of people who are angry with us for no reason, but they're going to be dishonored and ashamed. Those who contend with you, we have plenty of contention with us, will be as nothing and will perish. You will seek them who quarrel with you, but you will not find them.
those who war with you. We at war with these people, but we don't realize it. Will be as nothing and non-existent. For I am Yah, your Elohim, who takes hold of your right hand. Is your hand in the Most High's hand? Or are you trying to walk duller? Who says to you, don't fear, I will help you? Again, he's reiterating the same thing. How many times he told us not to fear? He's with us in this chapter alone. Don't fear, you burn Jacob. And I've never seen an Israelite, right, all these conscious Israelites, portray Israel as a worm. We lions and all kind of other stuff, but nobody puts Jacob as a worm. Somebody need to do that, because worms can be lethal too, you know. And we the worm that's in the belly of the beast. And you don't want worms in your belly, do you? Why? Because the Most High said he's going to do something with this worm. You're a worm now, but watch. He said, I will help you, declares Yah, and your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. This is Yah's title. He's giving out his resume. Behold, I will turn you into a sharp threshing sledge. Now, I don't know what a threshing sledge is with double edges. What is a threshing sledge with double edges? I don't know. But Yah is saying he's going to turn us, Israel, into sharp threshing sledges. And what are we going to be able to do with that? You will thresh the mountains and pulverize them. Do you know what it takes to move a mountain? And make the hills like chaff. You will winnow them, and the wind will carry them away, and the storm will scatter them. But you will rejoice in your Elohim. Of course, if we like threshing sledges that could move mountains like that, of course we're going to give praise to Yah our power. And you will boast in the Holy One of Israel. He says the poor and the needy are seeking water, but there is none. Anybody trying to take care of the poor and the needy? And their tongues are parched with thirst. That's what Yah's watching. That's what he's seeing. I, Yah, will answer them myself, because ain't nobody doing it. Ain't nobody stepping up to the plate. As the Elohim of Israel, I would not abandon them. So they ain't got to worry about the poor and the needy, because Yah's going to take care of them. What's he going to do? Open up rivers on the bare heights and springs in the midst of valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water. That's what he did for us when we came out of Egypt. We lived there in the wilderness for 40 years. How do we do that? And the dry fountain lands, fountains of water. Yah could do that, turn a rock into a pool of water. And I will put the cedar in the wilderness. Oh, yeah, he did this before when we were in the wilderness. Made the tree make the water sweet. The acacia, the myrtle, the olive tree. I will place the juniper trees in the desert. Only Yah could do these wonders and these miracles, because he is the creator who did these things in the first place, together with the elm tree and the cypress, so that they may see and recognize and consider and gain insight as well that the hand of Yah has done this. And the Holy One of Israel has created it, not the Messiah, not whoever y'all looking for, save y'all. Yah is doing this, the creator, the Holy One of Israel.
Now, you know what's interesting? When you read, but you, Israel, are my servant, Jacob, whom I've chosen, the descendants of Abraham, my friend. So this is what he said. Whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called from its further part and said to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not rejected you. Do not fear. What hit me, when I'm going to tell you in a minute, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not look around, for I am your Elohim. I shall strengthen you. I shall also help you. I shall uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. That it's not impossible. We're scattered, right? But if he got Abraham, Israel, and Yaakov, and he searched, he said, taken from the ends of the earth. What makes you think he can't gather us and we're all over the world?
You know what? We used to have a song. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. You remember that song?
Mm-hmm.
And if Yah created the earth with his hands, Trust me, he got us in his hand.
Mm-hmm.
And he can gather us at will anytime he makes that decision.
Yeah, nothing's impossible. It doesn't matter what other people say. It doesn't matter.
He's showing you that he's going to do the impossible. Put cedars and olive trees in the wilderness. How are they going to grow? Oh, that's right. Yah's doing this.
Mm-hmm.
So we just have to trust and put our hands in Yah's hands. Put your hand in the hand of the man with the master plan. If your hand is not in his hand, you're in trouble.
Oh, yeah. Yah to look. Not a whatever.
And what he's talking about is a metamorphosis. Because he already told us in the 40th chapter, those that wait on Yah shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary and walk and not faint. And then he follows it up in 41, that he's going to make us a threshing sledge that moves mountains. And sometimes mountains is metaphysical for like nations.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be literal mountains.
Yeah, that's true. Wow.
But it's a lot to comprehend. It may go over a lot of people's head what these two chapters have said. But there's so much in it, power packed. This hasn't happened yet, hasn't transpired. But we know Yah's intention for his people, his servant, Israel. And it's clear. It's spelled out plain. Who his servant is, who his people are, how they need to get themselves together. I mean, the story is simple. How you can try to impose somebody else into the story, it means that you're not reading the whole book.
Right.
Well, Ezekiel, you have any comments, brother?
Pretty much in a nutshell again, it's just love the Most High that God with all that heart, mind, body, and soul. I mean, that's the number one, law or commandment. And if you do so, you're fearing the Most High. You know, it's the beginning of knowledge for yourself to understand why it's important to take his hand and trust in him. You know, he's giving you the fundamentals of why you should trust him. So he got you, trust in his word, you know, and everything else will fall through for you and things. So, I mean, he says he's going to move mountains or, you know, you'll be able to do all these things and on the earth, you know, or deal with these other nations the way he's going to do it and things like that. Trust in what he said. He's telling you to be patient, be still and things. Not idle, but, you know, put up your prayers and do what you need to do according to his word and stuff and, you know, wait on him. Trust in him. Give him time. Let him work on, you know, work on his time and things. So, I mean, that's pretty much it.
Mm-hmm.
And I recommend investigators, when you go on your phone and look in the Google, look and see what a threshing sledge look like and see what it's used for. So you can have some idea what the Most High is talking about.
They got a picture of it?
Yeah, there's a picture of a threshing sledge.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
What did it look like?
It looked like something that taps on it. You know, I saw it and how they were using it with wheat and everything. You stand on it and you have your plow or whatever pulls you over the wheat and whatnot.
Oh.
And it presses out to, and it has like stones embedded into the bottom of it, like a big road grader. So imagine a road grader grading something and what it does to wheat and so on and so forth. It kind of grades it up and it has stones under the bottom of it. It's like a little sledge and they made it for that purpose and it's like it has something to threshing out the wheat and whatnot, but it's an awesome looking piece of equipment.
Well, the Most High told Shimshon to pick up the jawbone of an ass, and your brother went to town, son. Nine Philistine to with the jawbone of an ass. These nations in trouble if we get a hold of a threshing sledge created by Yah.
Wow.
Yeah, it ain't gonna be pretty.
That don't even sound friendly. A threshing sledge.
Yeah, it ain't gonna be pretty. But what I saw, what that sledge looked like, I mean, it's It's a piece of work.
Mm-hmm.
All right, then. Well, Cartrell, are you ready to present the next segment of study? We all ears. Ecclesiastes, the first chapter.
Yes, sir.
For our reading.
What happened?
No, I was asked what was the next. You didn't know, I suppose. The next segment. Ecclesiastes.
You know what that word means?
What does it mean?
The preacher.
Oh, yeah, sure does. Duh.
Who was the preacher?
King Solomon.
King Solomon.
Solomon.
Now,
King Solomon.
King Solomon, right? He's exposed to us what wisdom is, right? Most High blessed him when he was like 12 years old. First thing he asked for, give me wisdom, y'all. Y'all blessed him with abundance of wisdom, right? So in this abundance of wisdom, he's exploring things that the average man would never even think of exploring.
Mm-hmm.
So in the book of Ecclesiastes, he's going into this zone where he's just talking about life. And how it seems so vain. Praise Him. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The words of the preacher man, the son of King David, king of Jerusalem. Vanities of vanity, says the preacher. Vanities of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor, which he hath taken under the sun? One generation pass away and another generation come, but the earth abideth forever. He sounds skeptical, but everybody that lives enjoys the life they're given, right?
Mm-hmm.
And one generation does pass away, another generation does come. But you have to be fruitful and multiply so the generation can come and enjoy the life. The sun also arises and the sun goes down and has haste to his place where he arose. The wind goes towards the south and turns about unto the north. It whirleth about continually. The wind returneth again according to its circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. So what's his point? Everything is cyclical, right? The Most High created things in cycles, and those cycles continue. The thing that hath been, all things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which has been done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new. It hath been already of old time, which was before us. There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after. I, the preacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem, and I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail had Elohim given to the sons of men to be exercised therewith. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. That which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered. I commune with my own heart, saying, lo, I am come to great estate, and I have gotten more wisdom than all they that had been before me in Jerusalem. Yet my heart had great experience in wisdom and knowledge, and I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is vexation of spirit, for in much wisdom is much grief.
That's definitely.
He increases knowledge, increases sorrow.
Definitely.
Praise Him. So his wisdom made him sad. He just said it. right? I gave my heart to know wisdom. That's the first thing he asked y'all for.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't know he asked to know madness and folly. But he breaks down madness and folly in Proverbs very well, doesn't he?
Yeah.
We know how to spot a foolish person a mile off. I perceive that this also is a vexation of the spirit. So him going through the study and this writing of what Proverbs and Psalms are, he's saying it was a vexation to his spirit because he knew he couldn't change the nature of man, even though he could try to explain to you. You have to change yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is why he said, don't answer a fool in his folly. You can't change a fool in his folly or a madman in his madness. You have to be wise for yourself. And him seeing all this, knowing that he can't change anything, gave him vexation of spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So more wisdom he got, he felt more grief.
Mm-hmm.
I guess he felt kind of helpless. He said, and he that increases knowledge increases sorrow. So people chase knowledge. Our pursuit should be wisdom in the Most High. Because
mm-hmm.
Herein lies our happiness and fulfillment of our life. Not knowledge alone, not the vain things that we pursue. So he's saying that in ancient times, they may have had conveniences like we have today, but they've just been forgotten or destroyed or buried.
What I like is four. A generation passes away and a generation comes, but the earth stands forever. We talked about that cycle. The earth, he says the earth stands forever. No matter what man does to it, the earth still will be there. And it's not going anywhere. Mm.
Wait, Ezekiel, do you have any commentary?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it's vanity. Like, a lot of stuff, like I said, folks got to self-reflect on the Most High with themselves to understand, is they doing it for vain glory, for, you know, for themselves, to impress other people, so forth and so on, for their own self-gain, or are they doing it because they want to be the servant, child, wife of the Most High to make his name great? Therefore, to do what he could do, he or she could do for the Most High and the nation of this, of our people and things, and not worried about chasing, you know, a crown or, you know, to chase a name for self or, you know, all these different things. And while you're dealing with brothers and sisters, you have to, you know, literally, you know, having that knowledge of understanding of your people and things is, you know, yes, it's a very, it can definitely be a very tedious thing, especially when, you know, sad to see how, you know, our people don't want to serve the Most High. They'd rather keep doing the folly that they do and want to continue to keep hurting themselves, and not only themselves, but the Most High who created them by not wanting to know how to love them, how to serve them and things. So even bringing that knowledge to, you know, or knowing this stuff and just trying to, you know, we all been through it, trying to bring that word to them and get our people or our families to understand and stuff, and they just reject you, not rejecting you, even though it hurts your feelings, but they rejected the Most High. So
mm-hmm.
folks got to understand why they actually doing this walk and want to serve this power of ours and what's, you know, for the real reason. So, you know. Otherwise, you end up losing yourself, and, you know, as we have plenty of situations and testimonies.
Your phone is breaking up, see?
Hello?
Yeah, that last part is broken up.
Yeah, it's just... I said, you know, people think they'll be on their high horse and stuff and, you know, think something can't be, they can't be touched and so forth and so on, as we have plenty of testimonies of in the scriptures and in ourselves and stuff in modern times and stuff. It's like you're doing this all just for yourself, you know, and here it is, like it says, the Most High surely gives, but he also could take away. So you need to be, you know, understanding why you're doing this. What's the purpose of your walk and your life with the Most High? So that's all I got to say.
Thank you, Ezekiel. So, Shahudi.
I think a lot's been said. A lot has been said. We reiterate all the time that our power is the creator of all things. And we have to keep hanging on and go to him, talk to him. He should be within us 24/7 in our actions and our deeds. That's all.
Thank you. Cartrell.
Yes, sir. I found a lot of interesting things tonight. And one thing I wanted to highlight is the fact that the Most High tells us to fear not. And in that chapter that we just read, he emphasized it many various times. And we see that our enemy tries to impose fear upon us in all different kind of ways. They have our people very fearful. And fear will cause us to lose our blessing because you can't think straight if you're fearful. Another thing that I saw was that Yah equates us with the worm. And we know some worms, they metamorphosize, right? The caterpillar becomes a butterfly, right? And that's a miracle in itself. How does a worm turn into a beautiful butterfly that can fly? And Most I emphasize that we're going to mount up with wings like eagles, that he is our strength, that he's going to make us this threshing sledge that could winnow mountains and move mountains. We don't even know what that is. So he said we have to follow the code in order to receive that. Everybody's not going to receive that. Those that have been loyal and dedicated, you know, to his plan are going to receive that because they know that that's coming. And they're preparing themselves. It's not by arrogance or lack of humility. It says when you get those powers from the Most High, we're going to be boasting not about ourselves, but about the fact that the Most High gave us those powers. So we're going to be boasting in him, not ourselves.
And that's what so many of us do today. We boast about ourselves.
So when that metamorphosis comes, trust me, we're going to be shouting glory hallelujah. Ain't nobody going to be able to stand in our way if you receive that.
That's
a lot.
Well, thank you, Katja. Certainly there's a lot, and we're duty bound and more obligated to do no less as far as these studies are concerned. And the synopsis that Sociahudi and Katja went over. And then the first chapter of Ecclesiastes and the 41st chapter of Isaiah. Now, it's up to you. Don't take our word for it. You do your own studies. You go back over it. You do a critical analysis and assessment. And we will come to the same conclusion. There's nothing new under the sun. They'll say, hey, we got something new going on. Ain't nothing new under the sun, okay? Believe it. And also, vanity just is such a running after those things anyway. Running after things is not going to give you any fulfillment. And King Solomon said, the more wisdom I got, the more sad I was. Now, you get all the wisdom and understanding in the world and knowledge. And I'm sure I experienced this. Cartrell experienced, Sushihuri, Ezekiel, you experienced it. The more you know and the more you see that people don't know, they're like fish born in toxic water. It kind of is depressing in a sense that, man, if only they did their due diligence and their studies. So
you can hear it in Ema Hadura's voice. I'm sorry. You can hear it in Ema Hadura's voice every time she speaks.
Because
her wisdom is increasing.
Right. You can hear
it. She's become like King Solomon.
Right. Yeah. You're sure to raise, Hadura. You can hear it in her voice. So we pray that the Most High footsteps be your pathways, and that you continue to study with us and without us. And pray to the Most High, not for vain things, and not believe there's always something new. Ain't nothing new under the sun. The smartest man in the world, the wisest man in the world told you. They give you all this stuff. They got new sexes. they got with the trans people and whatnot. They said it's something new. Try this. Okay, I say, ain't nothing new under the sun. Whatever
under
you got going on, man, they had it going on here. Okay? So ain't nothing new they try to present to you and try to distract you. They got these organizations, these religions. They got the Democratic Party, Republican Party, the Independent Party. King Solomon said, ain't nothing new. They had that before. Had it worked out for you then. How is it working out for you now? There's nothing new under the sun.
Rob, shake it. You know, at the mouth again.
What's that, Cadrill?
I said, Rob, shake. Running off at the mouth again in the form of Putin.
Exactly. He ain't the first one, Patrick. He ain't the first one. He ain't the first one. All right. Y'all, we enjoyed these studies. I want to thank Cottrell from New York City, Sister Huda from Detroit, Michigan, Ezekiel from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I want to thank you two fellow students for studying right along with us. Why? Because you love the Most High and you want to get it right. You want to get codified. And we respect that. So that being said, after every study session, we offer you gifts. Now, we can't give them to you personally, but we send you in the right direction. We ask you to go to the Most High in prayer tonight. Ask the Elohim for a new heart and a new spirit, just like King David. It will help facilitate your relationship. It will help you get codified. It will help you learn to love yourself and to love what remotely looks like you. And it'll help you thirst after righteousness. It'll help you be humble, get your mind right, and so on and so forth. Oh, it's true. And bow to the Most High that you would praise his name in a great assembly if you give me a new heart and a new spirit. When we get in a new assembly, I'm going to praise you and bless your holy name for what you did for me in captivity. Do it. It works. We love you. Mm-hmm. May the Most High bless you. Shalom and good night. So Shehudi, Kajel, and Ezekiel, you want to say shalom, good night? Whatever to our fellow detectives.
Shalom, Lala Tov, family. Take hold of Most High's hand. And with the other hand, visit yahwohlgather.us.
Praise Yah. Thank you, Kajel.
And I say shalom, shalom. And don't forget, if you're on Facebook, Elders in the Scriptures of Life, go check it out. It's a lot of good stuff. Talk about the Most High, and it may refresh you. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Thank you, Sister Judy. Ezekiel.
All right, y'all. Y'all definitely have a blessed rest, and may the Most High bless y'all to wake up the next morning and stuff, and y'all have a good night. Shalom.
Thank you, Ezekiel. Praise and bless the Elohim, the Almighty. We love you. Shalom and good night.
yeah.